Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for joining us on this Tuesday, February the 20th, 2024. A lot of 20s there. Tuesday, February the 20th, 2024. Thanks for listening to AFR. Joining me in studio is Wesley Wildman. Good morning, Wesley.
Good morning. Looking forward to today's program.
Thank you. Better than the other kind of attitude where you weren't looking forward to the today's program.
I've got my coffee. We have a beautiful, sunny, 60-degree temp outside.
We can see out the window here.
Yep.
You know, from the studio.
We did our part for the audience. We did our show prep this morning. You're welcome.
We're ready.
We're
ready to go. Christopher Woodward. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning. I spent a few minutes and did the whole Hills Are Alive twirl out in the parking lot, enjoying this awesome weather God has provided us with.
Yeah, they call the mental institution to pick you up.
But you know, these days it's okay to talk about it.
That's right. Yeah.
All right. How you doing, Ray? Ray Pritchard?
Hey. I am doing great, Tim. It's I don't know how warm it is in Tupelo. It's going up to 63, which is pretty good for Kansas City in February.
Yeah. Absolutely. 65 here today, I think.
Nice.
Hope wherever folks are listening, they're having nice weather. Springtime is just around the corner.
Mm-hmm.
And we thank you for listening to America Family Radio. Give us a good word this morning, Ray. Were you reading from the Bible this morning?
Absolutely. In fact, today we have been in the Bible reading Book of Numbers, which is right next to Leviticus in terms of what people think is, you know, they're not sure about it. But the Book of Numbers is the travel channel of the Old Testament. And it's meant to teach us that no matter where we start or where we end up or what happens between here and there, God is with us. He was with God's people at Mount Sinai. He was with them out there in the middle of the wilderness, and he's going to make sure they get safely all the way to the promised land. So wherever you are this morning, remember this. The Lord is with you. He's with you today in your problems, discouragements, fears. He hasn't left you. He will never leave you. So be of good cheer and keep walking forward with Jesus. You'll end up exactly where he wants you to be.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Great, great word for us this morning. Keep on keeping on. That's what my dad used to say.
Yeah.
Keep on keeping on. All right. So Jenna Ellis will be with us in just a few moments here on the program. We look forward to visiting with Jenna. Hmm. And I think that's the only guest we have today. Is that right? The only guest we have today. So, Chris, what's the first news story you got for us?
Well, this is a very timely finding, given yesterday was President's Day in these United States of America. And I've got a Newsweek story that was published on February 19th, how Biden's President's Day approval rating compares to his predecessors.
So yesterday was President's Day. We used to have George Washington's birthday and Abraham Lincoln's birthday. Mm-hmm. That's what we used to celebrate.
Correct.
And we threw them all together into one day.
Now we celebrate them all.
Okay. Which,
whether they all deserve to be celebrated or not.
Yes.
Some more than others.
Yes, there you go. That's a better way of saying it.
I don't like that. I tell you why I don't like that. Especially George Washington.
Right.
Is the father of our country.
Right.
Okay. George Washington should have his own birthday celebration holiday, and that should never have been taken away. If you want to add something called President's Day, go for it. But don't take away the distinctiveness and the specialness of George Washington.
Mm-hmm. Without Washington, there is no America.
Right.
He's the man who led the forces in the revolution. And without him, you can really argue this country does not come into being. No, he deserves his own day.
Yeah.
And even further than that, though, his character and his leadership abilities across the platform would also be another reason why he would stand out as deserving his own day as well.
Now you read, and I've read most of it. I haven't read it completely. Stephen McDowell's book.
I have not read that one, but I have listened to his comedy, which is one and the same. His video on it.
America's Apostle of Liberty is Stephen McDowell's book, and it's about the life and times of George Washington. And they carried it at Mount Vernon for a while at the bookstore up there. It's an excellent book by our friend Stephen McDowell. But anyway, I digress. You're saying yesterday was President's Day.
Yes.
And the story in Newsweek magazine was comparing Joe Biden, the current president, with other presidents, their approval ratings at this juncture.
At this point in their terms.
Okay.
Yes, sir. President Joe Biden.
So what was President Joe Biden's job approval rating as of yesterday?
39.4%, which is lower on President's Day than seven of his predecessors at this point in their terms. Right off the bat, if you're wanting to know where Trump was at this point on President's Day in his term, Trump's approval rating was better. It was 40-some-odd percent. George W. Bush and his father had approval ratings of 49.6% and 44.3%, respectively. Reagan, through the roof. His approval rating at this point in his term was 54.4%, his first term, I should say.
That's funny when we get barely over 50% and it's, quote, through the roof.
Yeah. Well, you know, everybody always has a bone to pick with whoever's in the Oval.
In America, that's, you get 54%. You know, that's pretty big news.
Now, what I really find interesting here, and I'm quoting Newsmax. I'm reading from the Newsmax article.
Newsmax or Newsweek?
Newsweek. Excuse me. Newsweek article. And I shared this link a moment ago on our Facebook page. Biden is doing worse than his past three Democratic predecessors, Barack Obama, Bill Clinton, and Jimmy Carter. On Obama's 1,125th day in office, he had a 48.2% approval rating. Clinton's was at 48.9%, and Jimmy Carter, 56.5%. I don't remember the Carter years. I was not alive.
Well, that rate, thinking back about President Carter, I know it fell apart for him. The economy did. But was that in the last 2 years of his presidency? I don't remember because he did have...
The interest rates were... They were through the roof. They were through the roof during the Jimmy Carter presidency.
20 or 21, weren't they?
Yeah, that means really high.
Otherworldly.
much higher than today. And you remember the term malaise.
Yeah.
Just... a sadness, a frustration, a difficulty, a sense that the American economy and the American movement had just lost its spirit altogether. Well, and really, by the time 1980 rolled around, America was ready for a completely different kind of leader. Mm-hmm. And they got one in Ronald Reagan.
I think maybe, I'm just thinking out loud here, that maybe Carter's approval rating at this juncture was 56. What?
56.5%.
Okay. I that's inexplicable. But however, I will say that there's a couple things working here. Americans, Republicans, and Democrats, up and before probably Gore v. Bush, had a healthy respect for the office of the presidency. And so that's one thing. There wasn't so much animosity toward Republicans, toward Democrats, and vice versa. Mm-hmm. There just wasn't. There was division. There was separation. There was, you know, what your party of choice. But there just wasn't the animosity and the rancor that's out there today where you present the other guy as the devil.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
It used to be the opponent, my opponent. Now it's the devil. Is who I'm running against. But so that's one thing. Secondly, Jimmy Carter was a genuinely nice guy. Okay. He was a Sunday school teacher, a peanut farmer,
veteran.
He was genteel, basically. So he was, you know, a sympathetic figure in that way, despite the fact that the economy was, as Ray pointed out, falling apart. Especially the interest rates, which it's hard to even imagine 21% interest rates, but that's what they were, right, Ray?
Yeah, yeah. Unbelievably high.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
And gasoline, you remember the gasoline lines?
Right.
The cars backed up for half a mile to get gasoline prices. Remember the oil and gas prices were through the roof, so to speak? I remember we would put stickers on the light switch on the wall that said turn it off, basically.
Right.
Remember that?
Right.
Right. Anyway, everybody was trying to conserve energy. It's back in.
So to your point, yeah. I don't think in our lifetime, or at least for the foreseeable future, that you're going to get any president up to 56% either way because of what you described. However, I see that it is quite the effort to get below 40, and that's where Biden is.
Yeah, what is Biden at right now?
39.4.
And what was Trump at this juncture?
I had it a minute ago. It was 40-something.
40 what, though? That's important. Look it up.
I am looking it up.
Yeah, right, 41 or 49.
Yeah, 49, 41, and with these kinds of numbers, that is important. I'm just curious.
Well, while he's looking it up.
Oh, I've got it. 43%.
43%.
And remember, he's Orange Man Bad, too, at 43.
Oh, yeah, the whole media
was
opposed to President Trump.
So you got the media on your side, and you're below 40.
Biden is worse than Biden is worse than Trump was. Again, the Trump had the head of the whole secular liberal news media against him, and Biden has it for him.
And
still Biden is behind by 3.5 percentage points.
I'm going to make a wild prediction. I'm going to get way out there. I don't think Biden's going to get up over 43 before the general election.
Probably not. You're probably right. Yeah, it's going to be hard.
If that's the case, there's no way he can win, right?
Right. I don't think so.
Well, this is one of those things where the president, if it's Trump v. Biden, that's what it's going to be, which I think none of us are 100% sure that's going to be the case. Democrats may pull the bait and switch, right? And Trump has legal problems that may or may not disqualify him. Sure. I'm just saying that we don't know exactly who's going to be on the ballot in November. Although if we had to look at it today, say Biden versus Trump, well, it's like this, Wesley, to answer your question. Democrats look at Trump and go, we can beat him every day, all day.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then the Republicans look at Biden going, we can beat him every day, all day.
They're both, yeah.
So they're both, Trump and Biden have high negatives.
Right.
Both of them have high. Now, they have supporters that are rabid, especially Trump, that are just, you know, will die for the man.
Yeah.
So he has a loyal support group. Who can bring in the independents? That would be the question. Yeah.
This may be the most important running mate selection in the history of elections.
That's fair.
What now?
This may be the most important running mate selection in the history of running
VP,
mate selections.
VP,
everybody always talks about
VP.
It. It's the most important election of our lifetime.
Okay.
This person could end up being president in the next few years. We'll see.
Yeah.
Probably so. You're probably right. Well, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Joining us now is Jenna Ellis. Jenna is a constitutional attorney. She's also host of Jenna Ellis in the Morning and has been for a year and 2 months now here on American Family Radio from 7 to 8 o'clock Central Time. And she joins us usually Tuesdays or Wednesdays. Good morning, Jenna.
Good morning. And what a great year and couple months it has been with AFR.
Well, we are so glad to have you, and hey, by the way, your little duo there.
Yes.
Todd and Copper.
Copper.
Todd and Copper, describe them again. What are they?
They're mini golden doodles.
Yeah, mini golden doodles. And yesterday had a scary moment, right?
Yes, and listeners may have noticed that we had to air a best of this morning because I was at the emergency vet yesterday and this morning because we go outside for walks and get them exercise, and apparently Copper, like puppies do, they look for things and love sticks and leaves and everything, and he apparently ate either a gummy or a discarded joint of marijuana. And I didn't know this. I just noticed that he was looking like he was staggering. He almost looked like he was having a seizure. I ran him to the vet, and they said that he was high on THC. And I am so upset about this because I started researching this after, because here in Florida, marijuana is still illegal. But according to the American Kennel Club, there has been an increase in calls to the Animal Poison Control Hotline by 765%, a staggering number, since marijuana has been legalized. And that is just for incidents of pets and animals consuming THC that is very toxic to them.
So That is definitely a scary freak out moment. You're walking your twin dogs. I mean, you're letting them get some exercise. Were they in a, were you walking them or were they in a?
Yeah, we go to the dog park, but we were walking, and this was their second walk of the day, and so the vet said he probably got something on our morning walk, because this was before the radio show yesterday, and it would probably take, you know, a couple hours for the effects to show, because it was, thankfully, a small enough amount that it didn't substantially harm him. But when I took him out, I mean, immediately when he walked outside the door, he was kind of staggering and looked like his eyes were rolling back in his head.
And that's scary.
It was horrifying, and I just ran him to the vet, and thankfully they knew what they were doing, and they said, unfortunately, this is so common. We see the emergency vet had already seen two other cases that day.
Oh, they knew it just by looking at him.
Yes.
They didn't even have to do a toxicology, whatever.
They ended up doing a blood test and also a drug urinalysis test, and it came back for synthetic THC. So for people who don't know what that is, I was a prosecutor for a while in Colorado, and this was right after marijuana was legalized. And there's so much synthetic marijuana. When people think about legalizing it, this isn't just, you know, your happy little house plant that you know, just barely does anything. There are so many dispensaries now that will create synthetic forms and strains of marijuana to artificially increase the THC content so that people get stronger highs faster. And that was a form of what my little puppy got.
Well, how's he doing today?
Thankfully, very, very well. So we just got back a few minutes ago from his regular vet for the checkup. They did all of his labs, and he is perfectly healthy now and no residual effects. And I'm just so thankful that I caught it right away.
Right. Amen. So he just got it off the ground somewhere along the walk. And, cause, you know, dogs do that every day, you know. They sniff and eat things. You go, what do you put in your mouth?
Well, and interestingly, too, as I was looking at this, I posted a comment on my social media kind of to warn other owners of pets. And someone in the comments reminded me that Dana Perino's little puppy, Percy, had the same thing happen in New York. And there's a video of Percy that is in this link from Fox News. And it is terrifying. I mean, he's shaking. He way worse than what Copper was. But she did a whole segment about it because she was so mad in the same way I was. So, I mean, this is unfortunately apparently common.
What's your Instagram channel that got the, go ahead.
Yeah, for them, it's two dudes, and it's D-O-O-D-S because they're golden doodles.
Right.
So two dudes underscore Copper and Todd. And so you can go on there and see his little path to recovery and how Todd was very concerned and stood, you know, just right by him the whole time. And it's very sweet. So we're happy that little Copper's doing well.
All right. I want to change topics and put your lawyer hat on now. And that's not that you ever take it off, but
I really don't.
Yeah, I know. But okay. So we
much
talked
to the consternation of my family, but yes.
They're just glad you don't charge them during Thanksgiving dinner. No, bada boom. So I want to ask you, we talked yesterday about this court case involving former President Trump in New York having to do with business fraud. And the court ruling, the judge ruled that Trump would have to pay a penalty or fine or whatever you want to call it of like $350 million or something like this to make recompense for his fraudulent business practices over 15, 20, 20, I don't know how long it goes back. Okay, that was the accusation. That was what was he was hit with. Was Trump. First of all, was in a situation like that, is that a trial? Was there a trial with a jury, or was it just the decision of the judge whether he was guilty or not and how much to charge? Go ahead.
Right. So it was a civil trial. And in civil trials, unlike criminal, you have to request a jury. It's not it doesn't have the same constitutional protections as criminal trials where okay. you can opt out and ask for a bench trial. So Trump's lawyers did not request a jury in time for this case, which I think was a big mistake. But so this was heard in front of a judge. It was a trial. And this judge, I think, was very clearly biased against Trump. And of course, the New York Attorney General, Letitia James, who is a very politically ambitious Democrat, ran on
right.
getting Trump and pursuing him. And so this entire case, I think, was a sham. And this the bottom line is really that a never before New York state penalty was twisted and contorted out of proportion. During the trial, bankers even took the stand, testifying that they would have gladly made the loans to Donald Trump. And it also and this is actually according to Reason, a really good article in Reason magazine. The author says it must also be noted that the banks that made loans to Trump did not take his assessment of the net worth of his assets at face value, but made their own independent assessments of the value of Trump's assets. This is apparently standard practice in the New York state real estate market, where borrowers often overstate the value of their assets. So even if he had overstated, the banks made their independent judgment. And there, so where was the fraud here? And so I think this is an absolutely gross decision that even other New York Democrats and mm-hmm. businessmen are suggesting is going to have a chilling effect on business in New York.
I want to play. Do we have time to play that clip from Kevin? Is it Kevin O'Leary Westy?
Yes.
You're a Shark Tank fan, right?
Yeah. Chelsea and I have watched Shark Tank a good bit over the years, watched many seasons, and he's a host on Shark Tank. Kevin O'Leary is a multi-billionaire. And we've got an audio clip that we're going to play him commenting on what has happened to Trump.
He was on Fox News with Fox Business News or Fox News with Neil Cavuto, right, mm-hmm. yesterday?
Correct, yes.
Okay, so what Kevin O'Leary, we're going to maybe delay the break, I don't know. But what Kevin O'Leary is commenting on is the after effects of the decision that the judge made to penalize and really persecute businessman Trump in the state of New York. Go ahead.
Who lost money? This is some arbitrary decision a judge made. This policy and what this says, what does this say about the bar, the legal bar in New York? Aren't they going to question this judge? What is this? $355 million and there's dollars as a penalty and there's plus interest at 9% and there's no victim? I mean, I'm sorry, her words fall on deaf ears to everybody. There's nothing she can say to justify this decision. And this has nothing to do with Trump. Nothing to do with Trump. Forget about Trump. This is not a Trump situation. This is a New York problem now. The whole world is looking at this saying, what are you doing to yourselves?
Okay. Any comments to that?
Yeah, like all of the other legal issues with Trump, this is not actually about Trump. I mean, it is because of how much he's being targeted, sure. But the precedent is so bad. And I think what Kevin O'Leary is suggesting is the same thing that we discussed last week or the week before with presidential immunity. The same thing we'll discuss when the Supreme Court issues their opinion in the Colorado ballot case. I mean, all of these things are not just targeting Trump. This is having a really bad legal effect on the rest of the country.
Yeah. All right. Did you have a question for Jenna?
Nope.
Okay. We're going to let you go. Jenna, thanks for being on with us. And we hope that, hope and pray that our little buddy there.
Thank you.
Little cop.
He loves you guys.
Copper will be fine. Is Todd sad?
He was last night because he couldn't play with his little friend. So we're going to go to the dog park this afternoon and let him run around.
Okay. Just watch That's what great. They're sniffing.
Exactly. Right? I'll have to be even more careful. They know
night.
The word drop, so that's good.
Yeah, I got it. What about drop and roll? Do they know that?
Stop, drop, and roll. We're
stop,
working
drop,
on that
and
one.
Roll. Okay, well, that was a hit for the spinner back in 1973. Drop, stop, and roll. Or was that an ad for?
It was an ad for getting out of a fire.
Okay,
fire.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Okay, I got him confused there. We'll be back momentarily with more of today's issues. Thank you for listening. We'll be back. Stay with us.
I'd like to take a minute and have a heart-to-heart with you. If you're able, place your hand over your heart. Can you feel it? My strong heartbeat reminds me that I'm alive. See, it's the same for an unborn baby. Their heart begins to form at conception and at just 3 weeks is already beating. At 5 weeks, a baby's heartbeat can be heard on ultrasound. That's where Preborn steps in, rescuing 200 babies every day from abortion simply by providing a mother with a free ultrasound and allowing her to hear her child's heartbeat and see their perfectly formed body in the womb. By 6 weeks, eyes are forming. By 10 weeks, a baby is able to suck his or her thumb. Preborn needs our help to save these precious souls. For just $28, you could be the difference between the life or death of a baby. All gifts are tax deductible. To donate, just dial pound 250 and say the keyword baby. That's pound 250, baby, or donate securely at preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim, Wesley, Chris, and Ray. Raised in Kansas City, we three are in Tupelo, MS. Ray, this story involving the shootings at the parade for the Kansas City Chiefs, was that a week ago? When was that?
Let's see. That was last Wednesday.
Yeah.
Okay, last Wednesday, they were having the big celebration downtown at the Union Station. Tens of thousands, who knows how many people.
Maybe a million people, they say.
Huh?
A million people, they say, were there. Yeah.
Unbelievable. It was only 2.3 in the whole city. Of course,
right.
Of course. You would get people maybe from out of town, too. So, anyway.
Vast crowd.
Crowd. The point is, but then we had the shooting where one lady died, and they said, were there 12 or so injured?
22.
22 were injured.
Yeah.
Did anybody else pass away that you know of? Okay.
No.
All right. So then the story about the who did it, who the shooters were, started to get some video footage of the what happened there. And I haven't heard anything else about it much. Do they know who did it? It was teenagers, right?
That's right. You can look on the video and you can see they are clearly teenagers, and they illegally had the guns, illegally brought them, illegally discharged them. This goes to the whole question of more gun laws. They already broke a whole bunch, right?
Were they fighting each other?
Yes. Yeah, that's exactly what happened. That we know now this wasn't some sort of protest about terrorism.
This is not protest.
Protesting or making some political statement. They got in a fight. Some teenagers with guns who shouldn't have had them and shouldn't have brought them got into a fight of some kind. And here's the interesting thing. This is Tuesday. We haven't heard much more here in Kansas City about the details than anybody else has around the country. Police are being very tight-lipped about it because under Missouri law, of course, the juveniles and the question that's hanging in the air. You can, under certain circumstances, charge a juvenile in adult, as if they were an adult. But it has to meet certain specific qualifications. For instance, there were so many bullets fired. They're trying to figure out who fired the bullet that killed this woman. And I think they don't have that yet. So we have not had any names released. They're being held. And the police are doing their job is probably the best way to put it.
Yeah, juveniles. You
is that 18 and under?
Yeah,
16 you can't. And under.
You have to be. Pardon.
Be under 18.
I think it's under 18.
Okay.
I think it's in most states you're considered a juvenile. But as you say, sometimes they do charge juveniles, depending on the heinousness, if that's a word, of the actions. By judge, I guess the judge would deem it appropriate to charge a juvenile as an adult, depending on the crime. I think that's correct.
That's correct.
But
and there's certain very specific criteria that have to be met, and that differs a little bit from state to state. But generally, you can say they're much more careful about releasing names when it's a juvenile than if it's an adult.
Right.
So that's where it stands. This
so you haven't heard any. There's nothing else about that that's been made public by the.
And there's a lot about the Kansas City Chiefs players have gone to visit
victims.
And so on. But as to the people, if the police know exactly who pulled the trigger on the bullet that killed the woman, if they know that, they haven't said yet.
I want to digress for just a second and really give independent news article a hard time for their headline. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Kansas City shooting. Two teens charged as children.
Released from the hospital?
Released from the hospital. So they're either teens or they're children. You can't have both.
Where is that from?
Independent.
That's the name of the that's a British newspaper.
Yeah. That's a strange headline.
Yeah, it's really strange. I'm just giving them a hard
time.
Two
teens charged as children. Released from hospital. I don't know. That's strange.
They're talking about the Kansas City.
Strange, yeah, strange headline. Yeah, go ahead.
I did find a news article related to our discussion here. It's from KMBC, and it says the parents could face charges in deadly shooting. And then NPR has already laid the groundwork for this being someone else's fault because they say Kansas City shooting raises questions about how kids are getting a hold of guns.
Well, listen, kids we've all heard the stories, and Ray grew up in the South, rural South. People brought guns to school every day.
Yep. Sure.
For a long time in the back of pickup trucks. Nobody shot up schools. No kids at school. Nobody.
This would be a 100% parenting issue.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Every time I've had the opportunity to baptize any children at our church, one of the things I always include is that you as parents are 100% responsible for the discipleship and the development of your children. So,
yeah. Well, you're right. Yeah.
And that doesn't mean that kids can't do their own silly things as they get older. Mm-hmm. But in almost every case that you're going to find like this, their parents will either A, be divorced or absent, even if they're together.
Right.
The parents, if they're raised under a two-parent household with both parents being intentional.
Your chances
go down.
Of having a responsible, productive adult citizen come from that environment go way, way up.
Off the charts.
Yeah.
So
we'll, I guess, soon probably find out who what situation is because Ray's saying in Kansas City they've not reported who the shooters were or who the accused is having to do with the death of killed the lady. She's dead.
Mm-hmm. Right.
She was a local.
A mom, a mother, right.
40 some odd years old.
Yeah, so somebody shot her. And I guess I'll have to figure out what gun that came from and who fired it. And that's murder right there. And what these kids were doing with guns walking around where a million people are in the area is just, you got to fight with another gang member or whatever, take it out to get away from other people.
Yeah, go to the alley or something.
Yeah, innocent people.
That way. Right.
Yeah. And this happens in a lot of places too. We just had an incident a couple of days ago here in Tennessee, Tupelo. Not far from where we're sitting, there was a shooting. I think a juvenile died and another was injured. It's Kansas City one day, another city.
It's not the guns. it's
people.
The people. Yeah. And
it's people violence, as we called it.
You know, as I've said many times before, and this wasn't my idea, but I read about this one time and I've used it since. For the people who want to say it's the guns and not the responsibility of the individual, how come you never say that when cops shoot somebody? When cops shoot somebody,
not the gun.
People get outraged. Some people get outraged, right? They don't say, stop gun violence. They say, cops are killing people. Huh? So, you can't have it both ways.
No.
Either it's the individual who's responsible for their actions, or it's the guns. But you got to apply it across the board. Go ahead, Wesley.
And what I have over the years have grown to have a lot more respect for the people that are more consistent in their thinking, even if I disagree with them. So if someone were to say, no, it's 100% the guns, so we got to take guns away from police,
cops, or
law enforcement, I disagree with you, but I have a lot more respect for you because it's consistent with that thinking.
Because the guns are jumping out of the holsters.
Exactly, and they're going over.
And doing their own thing.
Right, moving around.
Yeah.
It's hard to go with that one, because that's pretty funny. But you get the idea. But you got
to
be
consistent. Guns have a mind of their own, according to these people. Get rid of the guns.
I have a question for Ray here. We have, for example, we had Eric Metaxas on yesterday saying churches have got to wake up and start getting involved in more political issues. We've had other people, Alex McFarland, for example, saying, pastors can't shy away from political issues. I don't want to necessarily encourage everybody to start preaching on guns or something like that this Sunday. You need to preach what the Lord has for your congregation. But, Ray, is this something that a Sunday school teacher or something can really pour on, that being thou shalt not kill, loving your neighbor, all these things that our politicians are failing to take in or share with people?
Well, the one thing you can do without any question is the issue that Wesley raised earlier, the issue of parental responsibility. That's huge. That is huge in the Bible, that parents, moms and dads, are going to have to answer for their children someday, for how they were raised, how they were trained, how they were discipled. And I think in our Christian churches, I think we have let the world do a pretty good job, which is a really evil job. We've let the world do too much in the way of discipling our children. It's responsibility of every mom and every dad to raise up their kids. Well, the King James says, in the nurture and in the admonition of the Lord.
Amen.
And so Chris, that is probably the clearest biblical principle, which if churches and parents took more seriously, we'd have stronger families across the board in our society.
You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Hey, if you want to watch the show, you can go to our website, streaming.afa.net, streaming.afa.net. You can watch any of the video live streams of our radio shows, streaming.afa.net. A lot of other good content there as well. Check it out. That's ours, so we're not going to be banning ourselves.
Well, there's a program at 1 o'clock with Walker on there.
Walker? Brother. We're going to ban Walker?
It just depends. With the exception of that, your brother.
This is a brotherly thing.
Oh, this is a brotherly.
Live radio here. My bad.
We might.
I'm just kidding.
Right, okay, you might ban your brother. Okay, just for okay, I got you.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm sorry.
That has nothing to do with politics.
No, it has nothing to do with politics.
No.
Nothing to do with politics.
Okay.
No, we will not be banning ourselves.
We will not be. Streaming.afa.net, streaming.afa.net. We're on YouTube. We're back on YouTube. We were off for a couple of years. We're back on YouTube. If you want to take advantage of that, just YouTube. Type in Today's Issues Live.
I'll share the link.
And then Facebook. Just type in Today's Issues. And the Facebook page is where we post the stories that we discuss, so you can read them for yourselves, where we get our information.
We're being followed we're used most commonly nowadays through our podcast on AFR.net because it's archived and you can go back and listen to it. So AFR.net is another place.
We're podcasting.
Broadcasting.
AFR.net. All right, Chris, what's your next story?
I want to circle back to...
circle back.
Yeah, I'm going to use a Sakiism. I'm going to bring it back. I want to circle back to Biden and his low approval rating on President's Day. Again,
we're going to pile on?
Well,
pile on Joe Biden?
I am, because the two issues that he's really having to deal with on a regular basis.
Strawberry or vanilla.
That's true. Beyond ice cream. This is the Baskin-Robbins Summit. Two issues he's having to deal with are the economy and immigration. Sometimes you'll see a headline saying,
"Oh, he's dealing with immigration."
Oh yeah,
Nothing to see here.
Opened the floodgate.
Right, nothing to see here. That's his policy.
That's how he deals with immigration. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
This almost sounds like satire, but it's an actual soundbite. She's as sincere as she's trying to be. Anyway, so the economy. A lot of people are upset with Joe Biden because prices are still high. People can't afford to drive places. They can't afford food. All kinds of issues that have to involve inflation and his lack of addressing it in the proper fashion. I've got a soundbite here of Massachusetts Liberal Senator Elizabeth Warren. And she says in the soundbite, she doesn't understand why people say they thought the Trump economy was so much better than Joe's, because things are going well under Joe's leadership. Clip one.
Why do you think that people, all these polls show, like a lot of voters look back on the Trump years and they think they didn't like a lot about it, but they think the economy was good?
I don't know. I can't explain polling. No, I mean, I can't.
Yeah, no, I don't.
I can't. And I can't explain how the narratives come to be. I also can't explain how sensitive are they.
So yeah. She can't explain how
you people... Cut her off. Was she going to make a poignant point there that we...
That's pretty much the meat of the clip here. She can't explain how people think they were better off under Donald Trump than they were under Joe Biden. Now, wages are down substantially in the last few years, which is one of the reasons why inflation is such a problem, because people don't make enough to afford the higher-priced items. In response to this clip from Senator Warren, I've got Fox personality Cheryl Cassone responding to this comment from the Liberal Senator. Clip two.
Let's talk about facts here. Deregulation, our stock market hitting record highs, new trade agreements, low unemployment. The corporate tax rate went from 35% to 21%, just a few examples of what the Trump economy looked like. This NBC News poll shows 55% of voters would prefer Trump over Biden when dealing with the economy.
So we talked about Jimmy Carter having a high approval rating at this point in his presidency until the economy just got so much he couldn't pass the problem. This is going to be an issue for voters, like it or not, in this election, and he's going to have to deal with it and not talk about
Who's
ice cream.
He's going to have to deal with it.
Well, Joe Biden or whoever's running the White House.
Yeah.
Well, you know, with Elizabeth Warren there, it's one thing, and you kind of expect them to not answer the question and to ignore it and maybe even switch topics, but to go so far to say that there's no distinguishable difference between the two economies is either in denial or lying, one of the two.
Yeah, I think what happened was the price of goods and services going up so fast, especially when Biden entered the office, and I'm sure people who support him would say, well, that's not all our fault. That was...
Sure.
That was COVID related, and it affected Trump too. And that's true to an extent. But Biden, the inflation, that's the new normal now, Ray. The cost of that. I don't think we're going to see anything.
Oh, I think that's part of the problem. Yeah. It's sort of baked in, isn't it? That you go out to a nice restaurant, you take your wife out. Well, you know, one day, not that long ago, $30. Then $50, then $70.
Well, $30 is a couple of hamburgers now.
That's exactly
fast
right.
Fast food is
and
ridiculous.
If it goes, it is. And my, you know, we heard that about the out there. Well, I think in California somewhere, a Big Mac special was $17 or something like that. It's gotten out of control. But the problem is, well, it's made worse too, guys. Because I don't know. I can't speak for you, but when I go through the drive-thru, I don't take cash. Just give them the plastic.
No,
right?
Yeah.
Give them the credit card. So you really don't even pay any attention to how much it costs.
Yeah, I'll tell you, for those who do use cash, and I don't use cash either, rarely I use cash because it's too emotional for me. if I can just swipe a card for $35 for dinner at the sandwich place with a Caesar salad and a grilled cheese, you know, I'm good. I'm good with that. But if I have to hand over.
I don't like that.
No, I start getting emotional. And, you know, I don't want to give you $35 for a sandwich and a salad right here. And so I think you're right. I think it's more painful when we have to use cash. Back to Larry Burkett's, he used to say. Who was it else? Did you practice it? Your brother, I think, practices that envelope system.
Yeah, he goes way further than
that's Dave Ramsey stuff.
That's Dave Ramsey all the way.
My dad did that.
Yeah, I participate in his. I think Dave Ramsey has an 8 or 10 step process that he's written a book on. He talks about all the time. think I looked at that one time and I was already doing three or four, but not in his order. So I would say I agree with a lot of that good
Dave
stuff.
Ramsey's way of doing things has saved a lot of people's lives.
Oh yeah,
I mean Ray, his methods.
You know, Marlene has been listening to some of his, you know, the video clips, Dave Ramsey, right. Video clips, right. Reels, you know, and these people call in and sometimes they have $300,000 in college loan debt or med school debt or $500,000 or $800,000. I mean, I guess somebody called in not long ago and had $1 million in debt. He said, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. There's really nothing I can do to help you out here.
Right. At that point, I would just advise you to play the lottery. You know what I'm saying? Give it a shot. Because, I mean, you got no other shot.
In the early days, like immediately following Biden saying we're going to forgive, and I'm using air quotes, student loan debt, I interviewed a guy named Nick who is from Arkansas, went to school, got a couple of degrees, and he graduated with what he described to me as a mortgage payment just in student loans. Sure. He was one of those people that paid. He worked and paid it off, mowed yards, did this and that to, you know, they sacrificed a lot of stuff. His kids didn't get as many gifts, all kinds of things.
Well, speaking of... not feeling the pain when you're 18, 19, 20, 21 years old. Of course, you need advice from your parents to help you. But if you're just taking out student loans and you know, you're going to school, you're partying, whatever, you know what I'm saying? You're going to ball game, you're doing all this stuff and you're just living off, government student loan.
Yeah.
Right.
It is. Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, well, then you get 22, 23, it's time to wrap it up, and then you're sitting there with $60,000, $70,000, $80,000, $90,000, $100,000 or more of debt. And what you better have something to show for it, mm-hmm. that you can make your payments.
Yeah, I can share a little bit of a personal testimony. If you're listening
about
to
partying,
me,
I don't think that's
well, close. About student loans. if you're listening to
better
the
be
sound
a testimony.
Of my voice,
go
yeah, and you owe student loans, work like the Dickens now to pay that off, because I'm 42 years old and I still have a student loan debt hanging over my head. Long story short, I graduated, we started paying it off, and then I moved here from Birmingham, and I was the only one working outside of the home at the time. Now, based on my income, we were able to put off some of that debt. And then when my wife and I both started working outside of the home again, then it was like, hey, you know, you're supposed to pay more than you were paying or whatever. I'm still paying... for a college degree I've had for almost 20 years.
All right, well, here we go. We're going to go to a GoFundMe page.
And it's not your responsibility, America, to pay for my education choices. Right. Let me point that out. Never did right. I ask for assistance from Joe Biden or whatnot. I'm just saying,
so
if you have it, pay it off. Well, otherwise, you're going to be in your 40s still paying for your degree.
Do it as you're going to.
Not to be morbid, Chris, but let's just hope you live to be 90. We just don't want it on your epitaph.
I just
still owes government loans.
Yeah. I just hope that one day when I stand before my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, I don't have somebody I owed money to standing next to me.
Right.
We just don't want to, you know, the way they put a sticker on your headstone saying still owes student loans.
That's funny.
Hashtag deadbeat or whatever, you know, the term is.
Well, dead would be appropriate, but I don't.
I guess we're about to switch topics here.
Are we?
Before we do. We've got a radio program, Faith and Finance,
yes.
with Rob West on American Family Radio, where they very, very similar in a lot of ways to what Dave Ramsey brings to the table, and he brings it on AFR every morning, and he's
what time is
podcast
that?
Up.
That's right before our show.
That's right. Yep. He's podcast up as well, too. Is that a good one, podcast up?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's fine with me.
It'll work for this for this show, it'll work fine.
Yeah, yeah. Podcast up, AFR.net. We got all the go to AFR.net, click on podcast. We got all the podcasts right there.
That's right.
Yes, of all sir. The shows, right?
That's right. Yes, sir. And Rob West comes on at 9 a.m. to 10 a.m.
Great guy, Rob. We had Dan Celia on for many ever. Years. Our brother Dan did a great job hosting 2 hours of radio here on American Family Radio. And Dan, you know, he passed away a couple years back, sadly. But then we found Rob, and Rob, different. Rob's more kitchen table. Dan was more investments and so forth. They have their own gifts and talents. But we're happy that Dan was able to be on with us for many years, and now Rob is offering sound, biblical advice as well. All right, we're just about out of time. Chris, what do you got? Anything?
I can end on a light note.
Okay, give us a light note, Chris.
All right, I bring this timely. We're talking about this. Wesley and I still have some coffee. Many people are maybe going for a second or third pot of coffee, as I like to say, at this point in the day. I've got a story here, and this sounds like a joke, but it's appears to be legit. Starbucks, in honor of the Lunar New Year, has added what it's calling a braised pork latte to its menu at some of its locations in China. Apparently, this is a big thing. So Starbucks is releasing pork-flavored coffee
at
stores across China.
No.
Are we all saying no to that, Ray?
No.
I was going to say, Ray's done a lot. He spent a lot more time in Asia than I have.
It doesn't surprise me. Let me say, having been in China, completely unsurprising, but no. No thought.
Injecting chocolate into random things like chili, like Steve Jordahl does, you're injecting chocolate. So you're like, doesn't sound good, but it's chocolate.
Yeah,
you get a unanimous no when you do.
I think it's all across the world.
Yeah,
I doubt the Chinese even like that. they'll bring it over there. What do you?
This is persecution.
Braised pork coffee.
Braised pork latte is what it's called.
Just don't know about that.
I'm not even gonna try it.
No.
It's just unanimous.
In fact, I'm insulted. You even brought that up on radio.
Chris, that's not a light note. That's actually repulsive.
I'll see myself out.
We're going to take a short time out here to try to put all this pork coffee out of our brain.
with AFR coffee.
And reset. We'll be back in 5 minutes.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.